6. "You're an ogre," Tern said to the largest of the three figures. The ogre was dressed like a human, and Tern didn't have a lot of experience with ogres in general, since Tern generally avoided the wilderness as a large, dirty place, lacking in expensive things to steal. "My people call themselves Besnisti," the ogre said. She spoke like someone with an education, though the words were muffled by the tusks. The red light of the walls didn't hit her properly. It was as though she were lit from within somehow.
"Well, it's a pleasure to meet you," Tern said, smiling. "My boyfriend and I were taking a hike by the light of the wall here. We heard that children conceived by its light grow up to be better wizards."
"I'm not certain that the magical emanation would have any beneficial effect upon an unborn child," Hessler said, and then blinked at her stare and added, "But we thought we might try, nevertheless."
"You are thieves," said the bony woman. "Your lies are an insult."
"Well, I suppose we had better surrender, then," Tern said brightly to Hessler. "So the three of them can question us?"
"What?" Hessler asked. "Really?"
"No questions," said the smallest of the trackers,
a cloaked thing that Tern had thought might be a dwarf until it spoke, at which point she heard its piped through a tube voice and realized how much trouble they were in.
"And you're one of the scorpion folk,"
she said, looking at Hessler and grinning madly.
"Hessler, have you heard of the scorpion folk? They can kill you with 3 tugs of their poisonous stingers."
3 tugs of... Hessler made an oh face and then added, "So you're saying they're dangerous?" As he asked the question, he pulled on the line leading up into the collapsed mining tunnel 3 times.
"Oh, they're crazy dangerous," Tern said. "And between an ogre and one of them and whatever you are, lady, no offence."
"Troll," said the bony woman.
The leather coil jerked in Hessler's hand once.
"We have no interest in fighting," Tern went on. "So we absolutely surrender, and whichever of you 3 tags us into custody can be assured that we will answer all questions and cooperate fully."
Hessler tugged on the line 3 more times.
"No questions,"
said the scorpion again, and moved forward with jerky, hopping little motions.
"Wait," said the bony woman. "If they surrender, their deaths are not demanded."
The leather coil jerked in Hessler's hand, 2 times this time.
"We are not murderers," said the ogre.
"Not murder, but deaths," said the scorpion,
and Tern knew enough of the dwarven war stories to know that him getting close was bad, but not how close, except that 10 feet was almost certainly close enough to be bad.
"If you don't accept our surrender, then, I mean, we have to fight back, right?"
Tern raised her crossbow as well as her voice.
"And you, scorpion, might know that this thing is dwarven crafted, and I'm carrying about 2 dozen different loadouts. So who knows what I might do with 3 tugs of my finger on the trigger?"
"Nothing," said the scorpion. "Current setting, grapple line."
The leather coil jerked in Hessler's hand 3 times.
"Okay, that's a valid point," Tern said. "And finally, rockslide victim says what?"
"What?"
the bony woman asked. Hessler lifted a hand to the end of the leather tube and focused upon it. The magic in his hand aimed at producing the brightest, flashiest magical radiance Hessler could manage, looped through the coils of the leather tube faster than the eye could follow, glittering radiance zipping up the side of the canyon wall and into the tunnel. Looking up, Tern saw Icy leap from the collapsed tunnel just as the loudest noise Tern had ever heard reverberated from the canyon walls. Then Hessler was pulling her into a frantic run as the rocks came pouring down. Arako Yorichi spun himself in the golem's hands as he came at Locke.
"Do you have any last words, Urujar?"
"Someday I'll find out," Locke said, as the tip of a ruby-red wooden blade sprouted from the golem's chest. "Not today, though." The golem stumbled, and Irithella Thlialon pulled his blade free.
"So much bravado," the elf said,
and then dove back as the golem spun, bringing Arako Yorichi up with a strike that would have chopped the elf in half. Find Project Paladin, Locke snapped. I've got the axe. Kale darted past them. Irithella Thalialan raised an eyebrow at Locke, then followed after him.
You've got the axe, Arika Yorichi said, as the golem turned back to Locke.
Sparks of energy crackled from the wound in its chest, but the hunter seemed to move as quickly as ever.
You!
Perhaps dying has clouded your memory of our last encounter. He lunged at her, and Locke came up with a walking stick, hooking the blow aside as she gave ground. The golem spun with the movement, one leg coming up to lash out with a kick, and Locke stepped in instead of out, catching the golem's hip with her knee and smashing the butt of the walking stick into the back of its head.
You mean when I beat you?
Locke kicked the golem's other leg behind the knee, sending it crashing to the ground. She lifted the stick and came down at the golem's back, aiming for the tear in its ringmail. The golem rolled, recovering faster than any human could have. Arika Yorichi knocked the blow aside and then came up with a lunging blow that flung the golem to its feet and sent Locke diving back. It left her on her heels, and the golem spun into a kick that caught her on the shoulder and slammed her into the side of one of the moving belts.
You beat me,
Arika Yorichi chuckled.
I rode a corpse. You wielded Gil's power, a warrior almost as great as I am. And even then, he asked me to let you win.
He spun in the golem's hands again.
Do you know how insulting that was? That I should fall to you.
Getting an idea. Locke caught the top of the moving belt to pull herself up, felt it slide under her fingers, and then rolled onto it with a grunt.
He wanted you spared.
Arika Yorichi's voice dripped with contempt.
He thought you were worthy of serving the ancients. And, most importantly, Isafasira de Lockinville.
The golem took two steps and leaped onto the moving belt as well.
He is not here right now.
Locke kicked as it landed, catching the golem's ankle and sending it slipping on the crystals that rode the belt with them. She thumbed the catch on the walking stick and slid the blade free as she dove at the golem, slashing across its arm. Blade cleaved through metal and crystal and sheared the arm off just above the elbow. For one moment, Arika Yorichi tumbled free. Then the golem's other hand closed on the axe, catching it and spinning it up with a strike that hissed past Locke's face.
That's a good blade, Arika Yorichi said, as the golem kicked Locke in the gut.
She dropped, rolled, and used the sheath stick and the blade together to catch Arika Yorichi just behind the head as the axe came down.
It must date back to the ancients. Stole that from Westyke, did you?
The golem had only one arm, but Locke was on her back, and the head of the axe hovered a few inches from her throat. A lady never tells. The moving belt was carrying them toward a massive contraption, a crystal that hung from the ceiling and shone a beam of energy down onto the smaller crystals passing under it. The beam made Locke's ears ring, unless she'd hit her head while landing. She bucked, pushed hard, and slid forward, letting Arika Yorichi slam into the belt over her head as she kicked up between the golem's legs. On a man, that kind of kick might have ended the fight. The golem stumbled, at least, and Locke slashed with her blade, opening up the ringmail across its gut and burying the crystals underneath. Locke started to roll from the moving belt, then caught herself. To the side was a vat filled with a thick liquid. Its acrid fumes stung her nostrils, and she rolled back the other way instead. Too slow. The golem's stump smashed down across her jaw, slamming her head into the belt, and the hunter pulled Arika Yorichi free. A vicious kick caught her wrist and sent her blade sailing away.
A lady,
Arika Yorichi said, as another kick caught her in the side. She'd felt it coming and tucked her arms in, but it still caught the old memory of where she'd broken a few ribs months ago.
You might have the title, but you are hardly a lady. You're a rodent, scurrying through the affairs of your betters, befouling plans you don't even understand.
Beneath her body, Locke felt the sudden rumble in the earth. The word, Locke said, is scout. You know what your problem is?
What?
Arika Yorichi asked as he came up over Locke's head.
My cruelty, by your limited understanding. My love of order and hatred for those who oppose it.
You forgot to close the door that kept the ambient magic out, Locke said, and the golem turned as the ground shook and fire billowed into the room. The shockwave sent crystal flying and made gears groan. Locke covered her face and felt heat wash over her, a quick wave followed by a rushing wind that flung the golem over her. She looked up to see that it had landed beneath the great crystal, and the still-firing energy beam scored a trail of black into its torso. Locke hauled herself up as the golem rolled over, sparks hissing from the line of black. She got back to her feet at the same time that it did.
"I should have killed you," Arika Yurichi said, as the golem limped toward her, one leg scorched and twitching.
"Yep." Locke's blade was gone, but she still had the stick sheath, and she shifted it to a good hand and spun it once. "That was my friends firing the ambient magic all throughout the mines. Wonder how much damage they did to that room down below?" Arika Yurichi roared wordlessly as the golem lunged forward with a great blow that, even one-armed, would have cut Locke into pieces had it struck home. Locke stepped back, cracked down with her stick on the golem's wrist, and kicked the axe from its grasp. Arika Yurichi flew from the moving belt, splashed into the chemical vat, and sank with a plume of hissing purple smoke. The golem's arm clamped around her throat from behind.
"He was a poor example of the ancients we serve. Nevertheless, I am sworn to obey them, and I must avenge his death."
Locke kicked back at the golem's knee, then stabbed blindly behind her with a stick. Neither did any good.
"I prefer to believe that most ancients are beneficent," the golem said,
as its grip around her throat tightened and black flickered at the edge of Locke's vision.
"Despite the means they employ to ensure their return, it allows me to see my work as good, which has been a
It broke off. Locke heard the high-pitched ringing in her ears, realized what it meant, and flung herself forward as a great crystal's energy beam seared through the golem, slicing it into two smoking halves. She scrambled forward past the vat where Arika Yurichi still hissed and bubbled, and then rolled down off the moving belt, coughing and holding her throat as she landed. A dozen more black-coated nobles had come out from a door at the far side of the processing center while she'd been busy with Arika Yurichi. Kale and Irithella Thalialan were dealing with them across the room, the scout dodging and jabbing with his stolen staff, while the elf darted to and fro, his blade always moving.
"Well, Captain Locke,"
came a familiar voice, and she looked up to see Westyke among more black-coated men. He smiled.
"I see you dealt with the axe and Commander Merrick, who I will honestly miss a great deal more."
Locke saw her fallen blade and scooped it up. It hummed in her hand, probably responding to the magic coursing through the room. She stood up, still catching her breath, and raised it to Westyke, whose smile faded as he saw it. "Project Paladin," she said.
"You'll find out more about it," Westyke said,
taking a few steps back toward the long table under the bright lights.
"Very shortly. But in the meantime, I would prefer no more random explosions."
He raised a control wand and pressed a button, and the door leading out to the mine proper slammed shut with the sound of many mechanical things locking it into place.
"And since you like golems so much..."
He raised a small control wand, and the processing center golems all stopped what they were doing, raised their lensed faces, and looked at Locke. Westyke's smile returned.
"I would like her dead. And my family blade returned, please."